His name is Lyle Pressler, punk rock legend and music industry vet. His name is Jim Shear, most tenured DJ in the history of music television. It's the Week in Music with Lyle and Jim, and it all starts now.
Hey everybody, my name is Jim Shear.
And I'm Lyle Pressler.
Yes, you are. And on on today's episode, Kanye and Taylor have drama again. And I say, it's about time. Third Eye Blind does not turn a blind eye at the Republican National Convention. Temple of the Dog is back. Marty McFly is back. The Beastie Boys' Mike D has his own radio show.
Whoa.
But before all of that, the Republican National Convention wraps up tonight in Cleveland, Ohio. Lyle, have you been watching?
You know, I just can't. I can't. It's not because I don't. it aggravates me too much. Like, that's why I can't watch. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch any of these things because it just aggravates me. It's like, and I've been giving this advice to people for years. And it's so funny that you say that because I remember right after 9/11. I remember Ian MacKay called me up and he's like, you know, I've been driving around for weeks listening to the radio. I'm like, okay, whatever. Dude, you're listening to the radio. That's fine. He goes, no. He goes, I'm not listening to music. I'm listening to crap on the radio. News. Why am I doing this? I'm like, because you're an idiot? No, because that's what you do. But you realize, like, there's no reason to do that. There's no reason to watch the convention. And by the way, I'm not going to watch the Democratic convention either. What do I want to see? Steph Curry's going to go up there and go like, yeah, you know what? I shoot three-pointers, and I also stuff for Hillary.
I have been watching just because it's been a slow TV week.
Yeah.
And it's been great comedy. Some of the best comedy on TV in years.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing comedy, dark comedy, no doubt.
But you see, that's the way. Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to do this, but that's the way people felt in 1934 in a certain country that's in the middle of Europe.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If certain things happen, then it's not so funny anymore.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kanye West and Taylor Swift.
All right, let's talk.
They're at it again. Now, by now, most of you have probably seen the video for Kanye West's Famous featuring a naked lookalike of Taylor Swift. And don't forget about the lyrics.
Do you understand, like, those naked things cost him an enormous amount of money? Like, he paid to have those wax figures created.
So wait a second. Those are real people.
No. Those are all wax figures. They're wax figures.
They're wax figures?
Yes.
How do they move?
Well, they don't really move. They move a little bit, but they don't really move. They're wax figures. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. Do you think Taylor actually got in the bed with it?
No. I thought it was a lookalike.
No, they're not lookalikes, man. They're actually wax figures.
Wow.
So yeah,
he spent a lot of money then.
He did. He spent a lot of money on this thing. A lot.
So besides the naked Taylor Swift lookalike, there's also the lyric, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Now, Taylor was said to be livid and horrified by the video and felt betrayed by Kanye.
Right.
But wait, there's more. Kanye's wife Kim Kardashian shared snippets of a phone conversation on Snapchat of Kanye appearing to ask Taylor for permission to be name dropped on the song. It's unclear if Taylor knew that she was going to be called out as a bitch on the track. I think this is great for music.
Yeah.
I loved when Kanye interrupted Taylor Swift at the VMAs.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, because at the VMAs a couple years ago when she brought him out to accept his Video Vanguard Award, I thought, I don't like this. My dear friend Kanye.
So, but Jim, I'm going to ask you a question right now. Like, how do you really feel about it? I mean, we talk and we do this stuff, and I can tell you, I can like, oh, you know what? These people are all rich. Who fucking cares? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But how do you actually feel about it?
I think Taylor Swift is a fake. That's the way I perceive her, and I love that. I just love when she's made to feel uncomfortable. Because for a time, especially over the last couple of years, it felt like nobody could say no to Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last few weeks, she's catching some heat. What goes around comes around.
Right.
I kind of like it. Is that wrong of me?
No. I think that's fine. And I feel that way about all of them. But don't you also? I mean, by the way, I think we could have talked about the Calvin Harris thing, you know. But
that's another part of the story.
That's another part of the story. But what I was going to say to you was like, if you actually look inside yourself and you think about these people, which you shouldn't do, because you should have a better life than that. But if you do that, if you sit around and do what you and I do, you look at your soul and you say, what do I really think about this? Well, you know, I think that maybe Kanye went a little bit too far with this whole thing.
The story's so interesting, though, because when he's talking to Taylor on the phone, you can tell that he knows that he's being recorded.
Exactly.
Kim's recording it, but right. I'm sure that Kanye said, yo, record this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he knew later on it was going to stir the pot
but
in
Jim,
some way or another.
He wasn't smart enough to know that in the state of California, that's a felony.
Now, Lyle, was it in California?
Yes. It was at the studio.
Maybe it's in Chicago?
Yeah, Rick
maybe
Rubin's
it's
in
New
the background.
York?
Yeah, it's a studio. Yeah. So it's a studio in California, and therefore it's a felony in the state of California to record someone without their knowledge. And that's a really awful thing to do. I mean, shit, think about it. Like, I know we live in the world of, instant media, social media, instant media. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, do I want to be... I go out in the back of my house, and we don't even want to talk about what goes on back there. I really don't want people to record me. He recorded, or she recorded him talking to her, and released it on the internet, the interweb, the worldwide interweb. And that's a really bad thing. But the problem is, here are the fines associated with it. In California, the fine for committing a felony offense is $1,500 or 1 year in jail. Do you think they're going to jail, Jim?
No.
Right.
I would think not.
So they could pay $1,500, which would make them the cheapest felons that ever lived, man.
See, what's fascinating about this story is that when Taylor Swift released her last album, 1989, nothing leaked.
Right.
Not 10 seconds of a song, not a single, nothing leaked. Madonna's album leaked. Like, Taylor Swift has more power than Madonna. So for once, Taylor Swift doesn't have the power. Because she said, well, I never gave Kanye consent to use that. And Kanye's like, well, I've got proof.
Well, but I mean, what's the point of any of it? Because, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to sue? Sue for what? You know what? She actually came off pretty okay in those videos. I thought she was fine. I think he was fine too. Like, it sounded like to me, like, but it sounded stagey. It was all stagey.
Yeah. Now, for you being Mr. Conspiracy Theory, are they in on this together?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, but for what reason? It's like, okay.
Maybe they're trying to outdo Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, perhaps. But do I think there's a conspiracy here? Not really. I think it's just sort of an unfortunate thing that they're playing.
Things are rife right now for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And on to Prophets of Rage. The supergroup, Prophets of Rage, who seemingly formed to disrupt this year's Republican National Convention, played multiple shows in Cleveland this week. They also led a march and a rally to help end poverty. Now, I am a huge Rage Against the Machine fan, Public Enemy, Cypress Hill fan. I caught wind of their time in Cleveland because I actively sought it out. But do you think this made a dent on the national scene?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it did either. I don't think it made a dent at all. And that's a shame because I mean these are the kind of people that we ought to be listening to. And I agree with you, man. I'm like Rage Against the Machine. It's like I watched this concert the other night on MTV Live. It was them playing. I think it was in Los Angeles, but so amazing. I mean, it was just It's so, in fact, the word I have to, it's stupid. It's stupid because, like, Zach is so ridiculous. And mm-hmm. and then Tom is, like, doing his thing. And the other guys are, like, keeping it down. I love Public Enemy, obviously.
Yeah, but I just feel like it all fell a little flat. I mean, I really appreciate what they're doing.
I
to
do.
Actively participate in a march and a rally. But I think if you have young Public Enemy and Rage Against the Machine from 1998 and Cypress Hill from 93, then we're talking.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been, like, completely over-the-top crazy.
Yes. And not to mention that rock is not really relevant these days, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. So.
Now, you know who did make a splash at the Republican National Convention, at least through the social media newswire, Third Eye Blind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they played a charity show inside of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They assumed that there would be some GOP spillover at the event. They were correct. Stephen Jenkins amped up his stage banter by shouting out the LGBT community, coal not being clean, science, and Black Lives Matter. And Third Eye Blind only played one well-known hit, Jumper, a song that is said to be about a young man who jumped off a bridge because he was gay.
Is that the song that goes, I wish you'd step back from the ledge, my friend? Right. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yep. Yeah. You know, I love those guys. I love Third Eye Blind. I actually really like the combination of that really cool rock guitar sound and the pop element that they had in it.
And see, sometimes you don't need to be playing Rage Against the Machine riffs
and
waves at the RNC.
Exactly. And by the way, you know, Jim, you've been doing this a long time. You know what goes around comes around. So, like, there's going to be a moment for rock. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Billy Corgan was sitting there going like, I told you.
So we are going to take a break and dust off an old favorite here on the Week in Music, Mountain or Molehill.
Hey, RNC, everybody put your fist up in the air one time like this. We say Trump, yeah, Trump, yeah. Everybody in this place, let me hear you say Trump, yeah, Trump, yeah. All right, baby. Pumping up my iPod, the monosos in the back of my crew cab. Redneck rocking like a rock star, sing a little mud on the back, we can do that. I like a Friday night football, Saturday, last call, Sunday, hallelujah. If you lock it up loud and you hear a minute proud, everybody in the place, let me hear you shout, say Trump. Yeah, I want to get it jacked up. Yeah, let's crank it on up. Yeah, now with a little bit of luck, I can find me a girl with a Trump. Yeah, we can love it on up. Yeah. Till the sun comes up, yeah. If you think this life I love is a little too country, let me hear you say Trump, yeah.
That song right there was performed last night at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, wow.
A song titled Trump, Yeah.
Trump, Yeah.
I love me country rap songs.
Straight edge, yeah.
So, Lyle, it is time to play Mountain or Molehill.
Mountain?
Yeah, I woke up this morning and I thought, I mean, do I want to turn on the
thermometer?
You know
what, here's the thing people don't know about you. It's like you are an incredible multi-instrumentalist kind of guy. How come you haven't come up with, like, Mountain or Molehill, Mountain or Molehill? Why haven't you composed some stuff for this? Mountain or Molehill?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I will tell you that Jim does not have time. He really doesn't. I mean, I have more time. I have enough time. I could sit there and go like Mountain or Molehill. You know, that's how far I can go with it. Anyway, yeah. Mountain or Molehill. Let's go. Let's go.
In celebration of the 25th anniversary of Temple of the Dog's debut album, members of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden will reunite their supergroup. And for the very first time, we'll tour, albeit only a 5-city jaunt. They'll be performing in Philadelphia, New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Seattle. Lyle, Mountain or Molehill?
Jim, you once told me that you thought that the song that they did, that everybody loves, You would never want to hear that song again.
Well, I told you that I liked the song, but I never need to hear it again in life.
I never need Hot Town, Summer in the City. I never need to hear that either, okay? We talked about having a show in which we came up with songs where we're like, these are great, no question, but we're never going to hear them again.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So,
I stand by that. Stand by it.
Good for you. So, I'd say Molehill.
Wow. Really? Yeah, they've never toured before.
I don't care. I don't want to hear that song. I agree with you. I don't want to hear this song.
This is a mountain, man.
Oh, you're full of it.
A supergroup. Featuring members of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden.
I'm sorry. Who's playing drums?
What's his name? The Pearl Jam Soundgarden drummer.
Who's playing drums?
Is it Matt Cameron?
Oh, of course it is. Because there's nobody else who can play drums.
In both, yeah.
You know, and as a matter of fact, can you call him up and see if he'll come and do MCA Day? I'm sure he would. I'm actually sure he would if you called him up.
We could get him or Josh Freese to play drums for us at MCA Day.
I
think it's a mountain, although I never want to hear Hunger Strike again. They never toured. They did play live shows, but they only did in Seattle.
Okay.
And talk about mountain, when they come to New York City, it's not like they're playing the Hammerstein. They're going to play Madison Square Garden.
Will you call me up and take me?
Yeah, let's get... Well, you know what? I don't know if I want to go. Yeah,
actually, you know what? I would. I'm sure I can finagle some tickets. So, yeah, we'll go.
All right, next. On the opening night of the Republican National Convention, Donald Trump took the stage to introduce his wife Melania while Queen's We Are the Champions played throughout the Quicken Loans Arena. Queen later tweeted, "An unauthorized use at the Republican Convention against our wishes."
Mm.
Mountain or Molehill?
No, I think it's a Molehill.
Yeah, I think it's a Molehill too. I mean, next week, no one's going to care.
Right.
That's the way the world is.
Well, that's...
Although it is ironic that Freddie Mercury, the man who sang the song, was a gay man.
Yeah, rolling over in his grave.
Yeah. Because, yeah, a lot of people in that room don't support gay rights.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This next story, I think, is awesome. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it's a mountain for me. I'll see what you think. At the request of his son, Chris Martin and his band Coldplay performed a song from he and his son's favorite movie, Back to the Future. Coldplay at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey performed Earth Angel. Chris Martin then asked the crowd if they wanted to hear another song, and everyone's like, yeah, of course we do. He obliged by bringing out Michael J. Fox, a.k.a. Marty McFly, to perform Chuck Berry's hit song, Johnny Be Good.
Oh, man.
Mountain or Molehill?
Well, I mean, it's mountain. It's insane. That's why the concert experience is the experience, because you get to go there and watch these people do what they do, and then they bring stuff out.
Yeah. So that leads me into the last mountain or molehill. Beastie Boys' Mike D premiered his new Beats One freeform radio show last Friday called The Echo Chamber. Mm. Mike D doing radio, mountain or molehill?
You're the fan.
Lyle, I'm going to say molehill.
Molehill?
I'm going to say molehill.
Have you listened?
I've heard snippets, but you need a subscription to catch it after the fact.
It's all about money.
Because I think it's bi-weekly,
it's
or not bi-weekly. It's
money. It's all about money at the end of the day.
So, birthdays today.
Oh,
July
yeah,
3rd.
Birthdays. Yeah, okay.
Or well, it's July 21st already. Okay, wow.
I know, it's July 21st. We have a bunch of actually interesting birthdays today. Cat Stevens.
Nice. Was that his real name?
That's actually his real name.
Okay.
Yusef Salam is his other name. Or, it doesn't really matter because he didn't really care anymore. He's 68 years old today. And by the way, if you've ever sat around a campfire in the thing that constitutes the woods around your house, you've seen a guy with a guitar going like, I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Okay, so you're there. Michael Fitzpatrick, one of our favorite people in the world. Mike
from Fitz and the Tantrums.
Seriously, we've discussed this. One of my favorite bands of all time. 46 years old today. Mm-hmm. Emerson Hart from Tonic. Remember Tonic?
I do.
Okay. 47. Jim Martin. Jim Martin, you remember him?
Is he from the Martin Guitar Empire?
No, he's not. That was a good guess, man. I thought that was where it was going to, but he was not. Jim Martin from Faith No More.
Oh,
is
55 yeah.
55 years old.
Wait, where did he play?
I think he played guitar for them. Maybe bass.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I always try to like, get, by the way, for those out there who are wondering how I do this stuff with the birthdays, I try to find, you know, obviously the big boys, big gals out there who we have to talk about. But I also try to find some other people who are under the radar a little bit. And by the way, I asked you this before, but why am I not on there?
Well, we'll
you
find
told
out
me that next... Kanye could figure out how to do it, and
yeah, we'll
and
find
yet
out next
you have
month.
Not...
Hey, you're not, your birthday is not till next month anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Just
August,
wait. Just
August
wait.
23rd.
Yeah.
23rd. August 23rd.
Yep.
All right, let's go on.
You're done with birthdays? That's it?
Well, I actually think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, it felt like you had more. But can I point out that Jim Martin had one of the best goatees of 90s rock?
He did. He had a great goatee. Yeah. And I actually went to see Faith No More. They opened up for Billy Idol.
And they also opened up for...
They did that. Yeah.
They also opened up for Guns N' Roses and Metallica.
Oh, yeah. Course.
At
and
they
were actually
tour.
A really good band. So
yeah. All right. So the number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 this week, One Dance from Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla for a 10th straight week. So if you look at it, there's only, what, 5 or 6 weeks left of summer?
Yep.
So can we officially call this the song of the summer?
I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Number one album on the Billboard 200, Views from Drake. He returns again. The number one song on iTunes, Vice from Miranda Lambert. The number one album on iTunes, Hard Love from Need to Breathe. And the number one song on Spotify, and I don't remember when this wasn't the number one song on Spotify, One Dance from Drake.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Like, I will refresh my Spotify page just to make, I'm like, no, it can't. Oh, yeah,
it's
number one again.
No, it's still there.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have our music picks of the week. Right, back on the Week in Music with Lyle and Jim. Music picks of the week. I'm curious about yours because you said that you might backtrack a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to backtrack.
We'll
but before I'm going to do that, I'd like to also say something about Leslie Jones.
Okay.
And, you know, if you know who Leslie Jones is, you know her from Saturday Night Live, and she's in the new Ghostbusters movie. But what you don't know about Leslie Jones, unless you've read enough stuff about her, is that she's been doing this stand-up comedy thing for 40 years. Okay, she's not a young lass. She's
been
older.
Grinding.
She's been grinding it for a long time, and she got herself into a situation where she was on Saturday Night Live, and she is going to do this. She did this movie, Ghostbusters, and she's come in for some incredible garbage stuff on Twitter and other things. And I just like to say that I don't think any of us support that. I think that she's wonderful and fantastic, and I think she should continue doing it. And the hell with those people. Okay, so like let's just make sure that we understand. Nobody deserves to be treated improperly on social media. You don't want your kid. If you have a kid, if you have a young girl like I do, you know, you don't want that to happen. You certainly don't want, and you don't want to see it in anybody who's, I don't know, Leslie's maybe 45 years old. Who knows? But she doesn't deserve it. So get over it. Okay?
Yes.
She's a terrific person.
She left Twitter because of this.
Yep. She's a terrific person, and get over it.
Music picks of the week. And by the way, you can hate Ghostbusters all you want, but don't start cracking on people's character and whatnot. You know, don't take it that far.
Exactly. And by the way, when did Ghostbusters become this big thing? Like,
so my music pick of the week is The Noisy Eater from The Avalanches. I don't know if you remember these guys.
Yeah.
They put out an album in 2000. Got good reviews. I loved it. I basically used it as background music.
Really?
Because, it's kind of upbeat, instrumental, nice hip-hop flavor in there. And then they quit making albums until recently, when they finally put out their sophomore album, Wildflower. And I love this song because it features Biz Markie. So the only thing I don't like about this song is that I want more Biz Markie. Like, I want there to be like a traditional verse, chorus, verse structure. Because Biz Markie does his thing, and then it kind of just trails off into this electronic stuff. And I don't mind it trailing off into that EDM stuff, but I want a nice verse, chorus before you do all that. Anyway,
gotcha.
Here is the Noisy Eater from The Avalanches.
Once upon a time, I was a noisy eater.
I'm hungry, I want something to eat. Something with a crunch and very sweet. Just woke up so you know the scenario. I'm craving cereal like Cheerio. Maybe Frosted Flakes, I might munch. But what popped in my mind is Captain Crunch. So I went to the kitchen to pick my choice. In my stomach, I heard a voice that said, please feed me, my tank is on empty. I'm seeing things, so please don't tempt me. So I said, okay, and got my bowl. Got my milk and cereal, made sure it was cold. Sat down at the table and said my grace, because I knew what's about to take place. Yum, yum, eat 'em up, my belly said. The crunch was so loud, everybody jumped out their bed. Now it's lunchtime and I'm hungry again. I don't know where I should begin. Maybe I'll get some super salmon, that's good. I don't want no chicken, it tastes like wood. But I have to have some chips. What's a crunch show? You can hear me go munch, munch, munch. Some old lady tell me on the shoulder out of a crowd and say, quiet down, bitch, you bunch it too loud.
Biz Markie, baby.
I love it.
The Biz. Nobody beats the Biz.
And so funny because, I mean, the first rap artist my daughter learned to love was Biz Markie.
From Yo Gabba Gabba?
From Yo Gabba Gabba. Exactly, yeah.
Biz's beat of the day.
Yeah, no. I'm, and now she's way more sophisticated than I am. I like it. It's a good track, man. It sounds good. It sounds really strong. You know, it's funny, though. It's funny, though, that Jim, you and I have had really bad luck with respect to identifying tracks and seeing hits out of it.
Well, I mean, have we
done? Well,
I don't think we've necessarily done that.
Come on. I mean, we've glommed. I'm playing my songs
because I like them. Well, no, I'm playing my songs because I like them. I'm not saying they're going to be hits.
Oh, no. Of course not. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting that we sit there and we go pick of the week, and, you know, it's like something people should listen to, but maybe they shouldn't listen to it because maybe they should listen to something that's on the radio right now.
Well, we could switch up the category.
We could.
Say future hit song of the week.
No, but we wouldn't do that, would we?
But it would totally switch up things for me.
But the thing I like about the whole process is that it forces me to actually look for something good. No, it really does. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, I got that Joey Perp thing down, you know.
I know.
And my daughter is like, she sings it. She goes, all the girls.
Oh.
Yeah. And my wife goes, what are you singing? She's like, well, it's loud. It's my dad's pick of the week, man. You know, I laugh because it's crap. But so my pick of the week is going to be completely different. And then Jim, who runs the kind of engineering part of this whole operation, is going to feel free to put in whatever song he wants to put in. But okay. I my pick of the week is to go back really seriously old school and look at the people who made guitar rock really good, you know. And not even guitar rock, okay? So the first thing I'm going to do is Amy Mann, because Amy Mann actually had guitars, but then she did an entire record without guitars. Mm-hmm. And I saw her on tour doing it without guitars, which really is about like sampling guitars and making them sound like they're not guitars because you're playing them on a keyboard. Okay. But so I love Amy Mann, and go back and listen to that. But go back and actually listen to, I mean, I know this sounds really stupid and completely white boy suburban crap. Go back and listen to Def Leppard, honestly. Okay. They wrote the most amazing, amazing riffs. We're gonna wake up 50 years from now, and people are gonna go like, you know, Def Leppard wrote the most amazing riffs. They did, and so go back and listen to them, because it's pretty amazing what they did. And if you want to go online, you can go online, and Phil Collin, who's a wonderful guy, will sit there and show you how he played them, which is really great too. Although I can't play them like he played them, but he does tell me how to play them. Remember that those things, those sounds back in the 1980s were something that we all listened to and we all liked.
Yeah.
Because they had enormous pop value to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that there's nobody out there doing it now. But there can be.
There can be, of course.
Yeah, so.
So are you saying that I can play any Amy Mann or Def Leppard?
You can play Amy Mann, you can play Def Leppard. I mean, I actually think they're of a piece. And I know that sounds really weird, but
yeah.
But Amy Mann, I always liked Amy Mann because her lyrics are so, they touch on things that I think we all kind of feel at some point, but we don't know how to express it, and she manages to do that. Def Leppard's lyrics are not that deep. Step inside, walk this way, you know, not exactly. But the thing they have in common is they understand how to take a riff and make the riff the centerpiece of a song and make that song successful. And By the way, you know, I mean, you know, there was an MTV Crossroads kind of thing where they did like Taylor Swift actually with Def Leppard, right? Wasn't that?
They did? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift performed with Def Leppard, and it was like, oh,
really?
Of course. Yeah, yeah, it was like, of course, because their songs are completely, I mean, they are pop songs, and yet they do involve playing like some pretty crazy guitar parts. So if you're
okay, now do I have to stick in the 80s or could I dip into the early 90s with this
you can
one?
Go anywhere you want to, man, seriously. Okay, but so as far as Amy Mann's concerned, you can go anywhere from Keep It Down Sal to her recent stuff.
All right, so why don't we do this? I'm going to find one right now. I'm going to play it. We'll get your reaction, and then we'll end with Ask Lyle.
Perfect.
Do you want to get rocked?
Let's go.
Let's Get Rocked from Def Leppard. Curious to get your take on this.
It's so brilliant. I mean, I know, like, everyone out there in the world is going to have this knee-jerk reaction against this. But it's so fucking good. It's like, it's just it's like eating the best possible cake with the ice, with everything on top. It's so good. And by the way, they know because I've talked to them. They know. They're like, it's just icing. The whole thing is icing.
See, because I remember when the song came out, everyone hated it. And then I remember liking it, and then at one point I said, yeah, I hate it too, and then years after the fact, I thought,
no,
I kind of like it.
I have to say this, okay? And this is the first time I've ever said this publicly. If you go back and you listen to Hysteria, the record, it's perfect. There is nothing... I defy you to come to me and tell me how you'd play anything differently than what they played. And everyone sits there and they go, well, it was Mutt Lange. It wasn't Mutt Lange. Those guys knew how to play their guitars. They knew exactly what riffs they want. They've actually, Phil Collins said that they actually discarded stuff. I would like to have the stuff they discarded. Can you give me the trash they threw out? That's how good they were. And by the way, Steve Clark, with an E on the end of his name, Clark. Steve Clark was one of the greatest guitar players who ever lived. And it's a shame that he had some other problems that made it impossible for him to continue living on the earth. But he was amazing. And
yep.
And they were incredible. So go back and listen to it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Def Leppard.
It's wonderful.
Yep. All right, so we're going to end today by playing Ask Lyle.
Ask Lyle.
I got two questions for you today. The first one, did we make too big of a deal of Melania's plagiarism earlier this week?
Yeah, absolutely. We made way too big a deal of it. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you write speeches, and you should, by the way, write speeches for people, because you can make some money doing it.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, and then be like, oh, look, Jim Shearer wrote this. Yeah, Jim Shearer. Yeah. Yeah, way too big a deal. Yeah, did it borrow? Of course. Why not?
Yeah, it was my story the day after, but the day, like... Later in the week, I'm like, all right, we get it, yeah.
My biggest problem with her was that basically she, like, looked from one side to the other side. To the other side? To the other side. She never, but that's, it's,
that's
as
where
they say
the
in
Spinal Tap, right?
As they say in Spinal Tap, it's called, it's, that's nitpicking, isn't it?
And then my final question, this is kind of like a, RNC edition of Ask Lyle.
I hope it's controversial. Come on, let's go.
So my sister this week, I think she was annoyed by everyone posting political stuff on Facebook. She said, enough is enough. No more political rants. I want more pictures of babies and kittens. So Lyle, on Facebook, more political rants or more pictures of babies and kittens?
I think babies and kittens actually rule the whole thing. Don't they? I mean, seriously. With all due respect to everybody out there who's serious, I am too. But I'm with all due respect. Come on, man. When you're sitting there going like, you know, oh look, I'm looking at something. Do you show them like, oh look, here's a political screed from I don't know, some guy, or do you show them the kitten? The kitten is what you show.
Yeah.
It's like you show the kitten.
Ideally, I wish we could hash things out on Facebook with political points of views, but usually it's just one-sided conversations.
Yeah, it usually is. But the other thing is, if we all agree that the kitten is cute, can't we figure out a way to agree about other things? I mean,
that's
honestly,
deep,
like, I mean,
yeah.
It's not that deep. It's like not deep at all. And I completely understand why that can't happen. But in all seriousness, it's like, it's so funny because people, you know, they call me, I get calls from people like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think? I'm like, well, you know what? You guys got to figure this out. But here's the deal. My cat looks really cute, like out on the porch, like doing the Serengeti thing. And if I could just, if I could film that and you could get on board with it, then we would just not care about the rest of it.
Wow. Well, you made me look deeper into my sister's Facebook post.
I think your sister's actually kind of got it right. You know, I mean, I hate to say this, but sometimes checking out is the best way to do it.
Wow. Thank you, Lyle. And that'll do it for us. Enjoy the final night of the RNC if you're watching.
Enjoy that.
But more importantly, everyone, look at pictures of kittens and kids while listening to Def Leppard. Yeah. For Lyle Presler, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.